Hello and welcome to everyone listening to the Written to Melanin podcast, the place where you come to get your weekly dose of melanated creativity. I'm your host, CM Lockhart, an author of fantasy books featuring black girls who aren't all that nice and the owner of the Melanin Library, an online database of books written by black authors. And in this space, I share with you everything I've learned on my journey as a black and indie author. I'm glad you're here. So, welcome to a special bonus episode of the Written to Melanin podcast, you guys. My lovely friend, Nika Marie, is here with us today, and she is a speculative fiction author with a love for sugary snacks, too many activities, and is involved with too many fandoms. She is a former army brat, retired martial artist, and not so former or retired horse girl with an affinity for holding on to random bits of knowledge. Over the years, Nika Marie has worn many hats, and you may have spotted her a couple of times on your TV screens, depending on what streaming service you use. And today, you guys, she is here to chat with me about everything relating to being black and an author, published author, and also to, I was going to say something else really cute and quippy, but my brain just kind of left the end of that sentence. But welcome to the show, Neeks.
I'm happy to be here.
I'm glad that you are here. So, for those of you listening to the podcast, if you've never seen Neeks before, then you haven't been on my channel for very long because this is not her first time here. But if you are new, welcome. So glad that you have made it. But also, Neeks is absolutely incredibly amazing, and I love her, so I just need y'all to know that y'all are going to be in for a good time. So, that being said, ma'am, let's go ahead and open up this podcast and let anyone who is new to you know who you are, and tell us a little bit about your book, The Inevitability Of.
Well, I like to describe myself as a tiny little gremlin chipmunk. That's the best way to describe it. Always giving unserious energy at all times, except for when I'm working on a book. So it's the only time I'm serious. But my book, The Inevitability Of, it came out 2 weeks ago. Huge part thanks to Chelsea. So your girl helped your girl. Okay. I happen to really like it. And funnily enough, I unfortunately saw some TikTok discourse before I got on today. And it was someone saying they don't like to read black trauma, and you know, age old discussion that really makes no fucking sense. And oh, am I allowed to curse? I'm so sorry.
Yeah, so just so you guys know that this is for adult listeners. This episode is for adult listeners. So if you're used to listening to this with your children and your family in your car, this is not the episode for that. Just
please,
disclaimer.
Please don't. Well, this person was basically like, I can't stand being reminded of the trauma that happened in this country. And I wrote my book in such a way that I wanted to say, hey, that stuff happened, but it also put a whole lot of power and ingenuity in my bloodline. So I don't know about y'all, but I'm gonna appreciate the people who came before me that now allowed me to read, write, and do my little TikTok dancey dances. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That made me start thinking about my book in a different way entirely this morning. But at its core, it is a story about a type A 26-year-old learning to roll with chaos. And I think that that's a lesson that we all need, be ye black, brown, white, whatever. So I hope that you will all check out the book. Reviews have been really, really nice so far. So if you're going to be the mean one, just don't tag me in it.
No, that's real. That's real. And of course, you guys know if you are listening to this episode, then you for sure can check out the show notes so that you can tap on the link. It'll take you directly to Neeks's book on the Melanin Library, so you can check it out. And if you get her book from there, you'll be helping support the Melanin Library as well. So get into it. And you absolutely are going to love this book. And again, if you guys know me at all, you'll know that I am not the type of person who really loves books. Like, I like them, I read them, but I'm a judgmental asshole. And I know this about myself. It's why I always tell you guys, like, I read, but I don't really read because I don't really want to tell you about something that I don't like, because I only read books by black authors. And if I don't like it, I'm not going to stop someone from getting their bag. I'm just not going to help them get it, right? So that being said, I want you guys to know that I have read Neeks's book multiple times and I still love it every single time. It is a really good book, especially if you love family dynamics, especially if you love magic of any kind, if you love world building, if you love interesting character dynamics. Like, she really has put a lot of time and effort into her book, and it shows when you read it. So I would recommend it just from like the aspect of like the craft of writing, because she really put time and effort into honing her skill. And if you like fantasy, I don't think you will regret reading it. It's definitely one of my favorites, especially if you like Lizelle Sandberry's like Delicious Monsters. The way she writes family dynamics, Neeks has a very similar kind of energy. Not necessarily written the same way in the same voice, but she has a very similar energy. So I would definitely check it out, but enough ranting and raving. We have specific things to talk about, but I kind of want to touch on what you said earlier about the community, about like reading trauma or whatever. And I feel like that's such an interesting conversation for people to have, because I'm one of those people where I err on the side of, I don't really like to read trauma. That's not my thing. But when I say that, it comes from a place of, I don't like to read books that is nothing but trauma. And the entire book is about dealing with very real world trauma in real time. And that is the entire personality trait of the main character or what have you. That's just not my bag, because like I live through it in real time. So I don't really enjoy reading fiction that's basically the same thing that's on the news, that's very depressing. I feel like that's very different from there being quote unquote trauma in a book, because like literally every book is going to have conflict. That's the purpose of the book. So it's kind of like, I feel like there's nuance to that conversation.
Absolutely. And I do, like you said, you've read my book several times. So the trauma isn't what, I mean, she is going through trauma, right? She's got an absentee, kind of ridiculous mother. Her father is elsewhere. Her grandma is tired of the nonsense and she wants things to start happening. But the callback to something that happened in history in this country isn't the center focus. And I feel like the second you mention that in a book, people start throwing it down. But like, you have to acknowledge where you came from. Unfortunately, a lot of us came from that, right? Mm-hmm. But why focus on that when you can focus on the fact that your people survive? You know what I mean? Like, that when people ask me like, oh, well, where'd you come from? America. Like, my people built this country on their backs. You know, like, we're coming out of 4th of July and, you know, I spend a lot of time reflecting, considering most of my family is service members, Black service members at that. Did they have it easy? No. Did they put this country on their back and run with it? Absolutely. So I'm going to appreciate what these people had to do so that I could be my silly full self. Right. That's just how it's going to go. So I don't think it's necessarily wrong for people to be uncomfortable by that. Be uncomfortable, right? Acknowledge those icky, nasty, hurtful feelings. But also please take time to say thank you. Thank you for surviving. You know, we talk about epigenetic trauma often.
Ooh, big word.
We don't talk, huh?
I said big word, epigenetic. Just threw that out.
She's a smart girl. but we talk about that often, but we don't often go and say thank you for also the power that the family had to get and learn and keep, you know? So I don't know. I could wax poetic about my family because I think we're dope. I think my family is dope. But at the end of the day, like, I wish people just appreciated what their family had to do, all the little instances that had to happen to make it so you could sit here today, you know?
Absolutely. And I also think that, like, when it comes to books, people have to acknowledge that when you're writing a character is supposed to be a total person. And especially when it comes to Black characters, I feel like a lot of times people try to take out a lot of the defining traits that a lot of characters have. And the reality of it is, like, sometimes there is an absent parent. Sometimes there is mother trauma. Sometimes there is family drama that plays a factor into those things. And so trying to say like, oh, I don't like it when there's trauma, but it's just like, but at the same time, you know, there are same people in that same breath who would be like, oh, you know, this character has two parents who are in a loving relationship and they're still married and they're still together and they're well off, and she has very supportive friends and she's never experienced any real experience of racism or macro or microaggressions because she's been very sheltered. You would be like, oh, that's not realistic. And it's just like, you can't have it both ways. And also, that's not true. Some people very much come from situations like that. So it's just, I think it's interesting, and I love watching these discourses from the outside, or if I do talk about them, talking about them on my own platform away from it, because I feel like so many things are taken out of context and people intentionally leave out the nuance of a conversation to make a point or to try to go viral. And it's just like, I don't know, homie, like critical thinking. It's a wonderful trait.
It's great. Use it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's really hard because I really... You want to like hold people through this journey of unlearning anti-blackness, which is all it really is. And sometimes you can't. Like, you can't fix America, Kimmy.
Truly. Like, I am not, like, as you said, I'm not going to wax poetic about it because I absolutely could. But, you know, having a platform that is specifically for Black authors and kind of seeing a lot of what happens, especially since most of my feed is intentionally curated to be Black creators, and seeing how people interact and people think, it's like, you know, you want to be supportive of people and you want to support the community as a whole, but then you also realize very quickly that some people are not about that. Some people are not about unlearning it. There are some who very actively chase that what approval, and there's nothing you can do about it. So yeah, but I feel like this is a conversation that you and I could definitely have, and it'll be a completely different conversation. So we're going to redirect just a little bit.
Absolutely. But, you know, it does go into community.
Community. That's what I was supposed to be telling you guys about in the intro. That's the word that I forgot. But that's what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about your publishing journey, and we're here to talk about community because you and I have talked about this, you know, off camera and privately, but I also feel like this is a really important conversation for people to hear as a whole, especially indie and self-published authors, and especially indie and self-published authors of color, specifically Black people, because that's who I'm talking about, okay? Love all of you, but I'm Black and we about Black folks. So that being said... Let's start at the beginning. Let's talk about your publishing journey, as long as you're okay with it, because, you know, kind of haven't been, I don't say with you since the beginning, like since you popped out the womb, because that's not true, but
it's been a while.
with this authoring journey, I know that you've taken a couple twists and turns, and like how your book has come out was not necessarily your original idea. So can you talk to us a little bit about that, how you got from point A to point Z?
Absolutely, because it was a wild ride. It took a lot of fun twists, a lot of plot twists happened. So let me start at the beginning. I've kind of always had this story in some form brewing in my mind. Sorry, a notification came in. And then, what's funny enough about it is that I started it when I was like, I don't know, 20. And I started it specifically for my younger sister. I was like, she's gonna grow up. My sister is very, very tight, very type A. Even as a kid, she's very like old soul. So I was like, oh, this girl's gonna need to learn how to like let that go. Cause I've been a chaos monster my whole life. And so I love my sister and she loves me, but you could see the heads butting every time we got together. And she very much at 10 years old had to take care of me because I was like, so I was like, she's gonna have to learn to like loosen up a little bit. So I started this story. Funnily enough, something I didn't even catch till she started reading it. She was like, why'd you name her Rika? And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, well, my name is Erica. And I went, oh yeah, that's true, isn't it? Because the name didn't come from her. It came from an old student I had who used to come in with her grandma to take Taekwondo lessons. And her name was Kakaria. Ah. So Erica and Kakaria became Rakaria Hobbs, right? Mm-hmm. Funny stuff that you start figuring out after you publish. Anyway, so I started the story then. And it was about a much younger person, like a 16-year-old. And I didn't like that. I took a lot of time away from the story. Came back after a long time, realized that people go through second puberty at about 25, and started writing about a 25-year-old woman who was going through second puberty, right, and figuring life out. I do not think that your plan will ever go to plan until after 25. So congrats to everyone listening to this. Whatever plan you have now, it's not going to work. Congrats.
Unless you're past 25.
Unless you're past 25, then it will work. So that's how the story really got started. And then I joined a masterclass that shall remain unnamed forever. And I got two pretty cool writing partners out of it. It was it worth $400? No, it wasn't. But I did get really cool people out of it. So Kelsey and Becca, they're the two people. We, from that point on, had been talking every single day and writing every single day. So within the span of a year, I had a solid first draft that I stupidly started querying. Now you're probably like, why would you do that, Neeks? I'll tell you why. Because I got a request and resubmit, or review and resubmit off that first draft. I did not resubmit because then a whole bunch of other stuff happened in 2020. You guys know what I'm talking about. It was a busy year. And I started the process of putting my money where my mouth is and really thinking about who I was querying and who I wanted to represent me in my books. That method, if you couldn't guess, did not work out for me. So then, funnily enough, so in, I want to say like 2021, you and I started talking. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember how, but I remember maybe one of us said something about a book and the other one was like, "Ooh, I like that book." And then it went from there.
I honestly couldn't tell you because I think I mentioned to you this to you before, but like in 2019, when I started being like looking for YouTubers and stuff, mm-hmm. like you were one of the first channels that I followed. So I had kind of like mm-hmm. seen you for a long time before I ever reached out to you. You know what? Mm-hmm. It was probably Lacasa's book because her book came out in like 2020, 2021. I probably reached out to you to see if you wanted to read her book.
And I believe that is it.
And then we probably just went from there because we're cool people like that. So
we're cool people.
So let's
back it up to that. So then you hit me up about Lacasa's book. I read Lacasa's book and you guys did a really good job on that. Whoop whoop, mm-hmm. both of you. And then we've been talking basically the whole time.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember at one point you, we were talking and you went, "Wow, you're serious about this." And I went, "Yeah." And you were like, "That's good, because I wasn't going to keep talking to you if you weren't serious about this."
If y'all are listening, I need y'all to know that when I'm not on camera, and even on camera, I'm really an asshole. And so I would really just be like, "Yeah, if you're going to play games, I'm not going to talk to you because I don't have time."
Point, period. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry if that came off harsh in hindsight.
No, but that's the thing though. So when, as we get into the story, you'll see that like, I started to appreciate that bluntness a lot more because by you saying, "Oh, you take this seriously," my brain went, "Oh, you do take this seriously." So when you started talking to me about craft and other avenues of publishing, AKA self-publishing, because I was very much one of those girls who's like, "Trad's the only way, da-da-da-da-da-da," right? That was false. That was something that I had to be broken of. And I'm glad that you broke me of it.
To be clear, I did not physically do anything to Neeks. It was just a conversation. First of all, Neeks would absolutely hand me my ass on a plate. Okay.
I'm retired.
Doesn't matter. Retired does not mean you lost the skill. It's like a bike, I'm sure.
No one shall ever know. I am a pacifist.
For now.
No one shall know.
For now.
For now. But no, it was very helpful. So we started talking more, and during that time, my writing partner Kelsey had published her book, and she self-published it. And I was like, okay. However, when she self-published, it looked like chaos, and I wanted no part of that chaos. I was like, not me, no God, okay. And so I kept querying, getting like nice responses, but people kept saying like, "I don't know how to market this," and I went, but that's your job. That's like your whole thing. But you, what it ultimately comes down to, as you explained it to me, is do I want someone who has no idea what to do with my book attached to me? And the answer is no. No matter how much anybody might want an agent, because that's what we're told you should do, don't. So if they don't have your best interest, don't. That's fine. So fast forward to like 2022, You had basically fully convinced me by then that I could self-publish. And by then we had like Kim Liming, love you girl.
Hey.
She was in the mix and she was also like, "Yeah, just do it." And you know how Kim is, she's like, just Do it. That.
Do it right now. Why haven't you done
okay,
it already?
Okay, but what about, no, just do it. But okay, like, but I have questions.
You're overthinking this. Just do it. Like, you could have had it up on Amazon yesterday in the time that we had this conversation.
But exactly. So, you helped me come up with a plan. We went through a bunch of, by then I think you read my book twice already, and then the third time is the final, like this final copy.
Yeah.
And by then, because of you and a whole lot of other people in the community who we can totally talk about later, I felt ready, and that's when we put it into motion. And then 2 weeks ago, the book came out, and now I'm a published author.
Hi! I love that. And the reason I wanted you to share is because, like, there, I know there are people listening, and it's like, if this is like how you're feeling, like that, like if you have in your mind, like, I have to be tried. I'm not saying that that is not your path, because everyone has their own. I always say that, and I stand firmly in it. You have to choose what path is right for you. But it's also one of those things where I'm kind of glad that, you know, you share the fact that, you know, you have to have an agent who is about you. And yeah, one of the things that I've kind of learned about trad publishing, just talking to different authors and having the chance to talk to an agent, is just that I think a big misconception that authors have, because there's so much of publishing, especially trad publishing, is hidden behind smoke and mirrors and gilded doors. You know, mm-hmm, it's not very transparent. They make it as untransparent as possible. You
absolutely
know? And I think one of the things is that, like, I think authors think that agents market the book. Like, that's, like you said, like, that's your job. But it's, mm-hmm, also like, that's not an agent's job to market your book. It's to find someone who is willing to pay for your book. It's similar to like how a real estate agent sells you a house. Their job is not to sell the house to you. It's to help find you the right house. Mm-hmm. And it's the same way with publishing. Like, they are not the marketing team. They just put you in touch with someone who has a marketing budget. And, mm-hmm, if you have a plan, then they will put the plan in motion for you. Yeah. But it has to work with what they have in mind. And it's very similar to kind of like a side connection. But if you guys follow music or whatever, there's a singer, her name's Coco Jones, and has been on Terrell's show. We love her. We stan Coco. She mentions one time how in her journey going from a child actor to trying to find like her place in the industry, she was with Disney for a little bit. And, mm-hmm, she was like, the reason why she didn't pop off with Disney is because she was like, I was this black girl and they had a plan for how to make anyone successful, but they didn't have a plan for how to make this black girl successful. And, yep, with publishing, it's very much the same way. Like, these publishing houses, 9 times out of 10, have a plan on how to make a book successful, but not necessarily how to make a book with black people successful. And, yep, that doesn't always translate. So it's why you have to be, like you said, careful and be mindful about who you're asking to represent you, because, mm-hmm, the reality of it is, you know, if you are a person of color, especially a black person in America trying to get trad published, you meet someone who's going to fight for your book in your corner, especially if you have anything outside of the traditional story, meaning you don't follow this traditional structure, you have a predominantly black cast, or you have a diverse cast, or you're talking about family dynamics. Like, those books exist. Like, there are books like Lizelle Sanberry and Joya Gaffney and Christina Forrest, and who have these books where, yeah, pretty much everybody's black. But also the fact that I could just name off those three and struggle to give you a couple more, it's not the norm. So it's something, yeah, to be mindful of, you know? Which is why, absolutely, I'm always like, be mindful of your options, you know? You have options.
Yes. And I won't say, well, one, again, it's this is why community was so important, because even though self-publishing was scary, like, it was really, you know, because everything broke down nearly at the last minute. and you had to listen to me, like, punch walls while I was here. But, you know, knowing that there was that option, knowing that I didn't have to wait for someone to deem me worthy when I could just be worthy on my own, holler, that was a nice thing to be reminded of, because I think that, first and foremost, you're going to have to fight for yourself and your book. If you find someone who wants to fight with you, great, fantastic. Like, by way of an agent, I mean, great, fantastic. But I didn't just have an agent. I had a whole community around me who was like, yeah, this is it. let's do this. And the power of community really, if you told me I was going to sell 200 in that first week, I would have told you you're insane. But what happened? Because the community not only holds me up, they hold me down, they keep me grounded, and everyone was like, don't worry about it. So what did I do on debut day? I didn't worry about a thing. I was calm, I was happy, and look what happened. That's the power of having good people who believe in you around you. I don't know if I would have gotten that with an agent, to be honest.
And I think that's the thing that, especially as Black authors, I personally feel very strongly about is like that community aspect, because I feel like sometimes people have this idea of like once they get into trad, their agent becomes, I think people refer to it as like their agent siblings or their, I don't even know what you call it, but they think that like it becomes like the people on the inside become their family, their community. But I've also seen those bonds, I'll say, break very easily, very quickly, if that author doesn't stay with that agent or that house, or they start to veer off, or if that success that comes with that debut that people are banking on your potential, if it doesn't start to pay off or pan out, then it's just like that kind of visible community breaks down. I'm not going to say like the personal community, because I don't know nobody's personal life. I'll get into it like that. But that visible community kind of dissipates. And so with being like an indie author, self-published author, especially when I have like mentoring services, the first thing I'm always like is like, hey, find your community. Because if you're going to be self-published, if you're going to take this route, that is your biggest asset. Like having people to tap on your shoulder to, like you said, hype you up. Because here's the thing that I feel like people don't like to talk about when it comes to self-publishing. You're going to have a breakdown. I don't care how strong you are. I don't care how talented you are. I don't care how much you have your shit together. You don't, and you're going to have a breakdown at some point in this process. Something is going to go awry. Your formatting is not going to be right. Your cover is going to be wonky. Your text isn't going to come out right. Something is going to be wrong. You're going to have a typo someplace you absolutely for sure should not have a typo. You know, there's going to be extra pages. You're going to be like, why isn't my photo showing up? Why is everything right justified when it's supposed to be on the left? You're going to have something that happens, like the book didn't show up on time, or I was supposed to do this interview, this person ghosted me, whatever. There are going to be trials and tribulations, as with any journey. And so, but having a community to be like, hey, it's okay, calm down. Hey, it's okay, this is what we can do. Hey, it's okay, this is how you tackle the problem. This is how you keep it in perspective. Or even just being like, yo, this fucking sucks, but you're going to get through it because your book is amazing. And even though this is a setback, it's not going to keep your book from being successful. You need people like that in your ear, and it helps when they are in the same trenches as you, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how many of y'all are Jesus raised, but when he says equally yoked, there's a reason he says equally yoked, okay? There's just a understanding that comes from like, hey, we're in this together. I've been where you're at, or I'm going where you have been. And it's just, it's nice. And especially when you come through the other side of it, right?
Yeah. that was a good day. but on the real, like, I, again, both you and Kim know, because I was in our Discord every day with a new thing. Why isn't this working? Da-da-da-da-da. These people won't get on the phone. The fact that I had to, like, make a whole public statement about Ingram Spark. Never, if you told me a year ago I'd have to do that, I would be like, you're a silly pants and you're wrong. Nothing is gonna go wrong. Everything went wrong. Everything you just said went wrong. And you have to have people who are gonna calm you down so you can be like, okay, this is actually not that bad. I just have to spend 5 minutes correcting it, right? But at the time, it feels like the end of the world.
Absolutely.
You know, like when you're a kid, you know, when you're a kid and like something goes wrong, your whole day's ruined. That's what it felt like again.
No, that's real, because, you know, even now, and I'm working on We Are Dying Gods, right? And this is technically my third book for myself, but my fourth book altogether, including what I've done for LaCase. It's just kind of like, I'm still like, oh my God, why isn't this working? You know, it is just like, I need to take a step away from the computer because I'm either going to punch it or I'm going to cry. And it's just part of the process. Like, you get better at handling it. Like, I know that this is just a moment, but also there are moments where I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to call Adobe and I'm going to set their headquarters on fire, because why isn't this formatting working? Why is this so complicated? Why is this learning curve so high? What?
What is going on?
Right. So, and that's when your community comes in, and that's when you take a breath, you have a moment, you have a drink with your friends, and you're like, you know what I hate? Publishing. You know what I hate? I just want someone to like do all of this for me. And then you get up the next day and you do it yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. So sometimes you just gotta cry it out, you gotta yell it out, and then you gotta get back to work, and that's it be what it be.
Truly, truly. So the other thing that I kind of wanted to ask on your take, get your take on, rather, is finding the right community. Because we've talked about how we met, and like obviously we have Kim. And also, if you guys are unclear, we're talking about Kimberly Lemming. She wrote That Time I Got Drunk and Saved a Demon. She's been on the podcast a couple of times, as well as the YouTube channel. So for sure, check her out. She's absolutely wonderful and amazing. And you guys know, if you're listening to this, that I have like several communities that I'm kind of like, I got a toe in. You know, there's the Melanin Network, there's the one that I have with you guys, and then I have a lot of like private chats with just other authors where we're just like touching base and keeping up with each other. And you have the one with, you know, Kelsey and Becca, and the one, you know, I don't know all your business, but you know, you got folks, you got people. So, and I know that one of the questions that I get a lot, especially with newer authors, is like, how do you find your community?
I love this question, because on Reddit, I like to dip my toe in, you know, r/writing, r/self-publishing, and every day there's a new post that's like, how do I sell more books? How do I do this and that to result in money for me? Stop thinking about money immediately. Your community is gonna have to come first. And the best way to do that, for me at least, a lot of people knew me from book reviews because I was on YouTube, being a chaos gremlin over there for a long time, Twitter, Instagram, and then now probably my personal biggest community is on TikTok. I don't know how that happened. It did. I swear to you, I thought it would be Twitter. I'm unhinged over there. And yet, TikTok grew. But the point is, you gotta interact with other people about what you like. So if you're really into building model trains, why are you going to not interact with other model train people? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So if I'm really into books, I'm gonna be in there with the book girls talking about books all the time. But more specifically, I really like talking about diversity, equity, and inclusion, so DEI, in the book space. I like to talk about how are we gonna get more people to read a wider range of books, right? Let's not be basic when we can be brilliant. Let's do that.
let's
do that. And then through that is how people kind of started to get to know me and what I was about. Because if you see some random person talking constantly about black and brown books, you're going to be like, oh, let me pay attention. You know, let me get a couple recs. Even if you don't like one of my recs, you're going to be like, oh, but I like that other one. And I didn't die from reading about a character that's not like me. Maybe I should do it again. You know, that's generally my hope for when people find my content. Obviously now I don't do reviews. Let's be respectful to our colleagues, but honestly, I haven't even read a less than 4-star book this year, so holla to everybody I read. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's how I found my community. You gotta find your community by being about your stuff all the time. Don't fake it either. Don't do it for the views. Don't do it for the clicks. Do it because you're authentic. Authenticity goes a long, 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 long way. So if I'm on here talking about phalluses one day and talking about the holy scripture that is Lizelle Sanbury, then that's what it is.
You know what, you guys? I don't even know what to tell you about this podcast episode anymore. Listen at your own discretion at this point.
But you have to love me.
I do, but also, definitely gonna have to put a content warning on this episode.
I use the scientific term.
Doesn't matter. You use the word.
But I felt I was very respectful.
Just gotta put a content warning on it. That's all. I generally have episodes that are very fine to listen to while you're in the car but in public spaces. Be mindful of this one.
But, this is why people don't want to interview me. I see it now.
No. It's totally fine. It's totally fine. But you said something that I was like, yes, thank you. Thank you for saying this. Because again, it's something that I say on legitimately. I was going to say literally, but legitimately, literally everything. It's like you have to be authentic, because when you're talking about finding community, you are talking about finding a community. You're not talking about finding buyers. You're not talking about finding readers. You're not talking about finding people that you can sell to. You are not a marketing consultant. You're not a car salesman looking for people to sell something to, okay? You are looking for, I'll say, the equivalent of a church home. If that doesn't resonate with you, I'm so sorry, but I'm Black and Southern and raised Baptist, so that means something to me. But it's the equivalent of finding the people that you vibe with, the people that you can talk to, who you can have conversation with, because those are the people who are going to show up for you. And by nature of that, it is also people that you have to show up for. And even if it's a very superficial relationship, and I say that in the sense of, like, if you're on social media and you're on TikTok, you're on Twitter, there are absolutely going to be people that you interact with and you know their handle, you know their profile picture. Do you talk to them in the DMs? No. Have you had like a very substantial conversation with them? No, but you follow each other. You see their content, they see your content, and you interact with each other on a regular basis. That is now part of your community, because you know what they're going to do when they see you post a book cover, when they see you post a blurb, when they see you talking about your book. They're going to help share that, because even if they don't know you, and if you're listening to the podcast, then obviously I'm doing air quotes, you can't see me, but if they don't, like, quote unquote, know you like that, then it's okay, but they're still part of your support system. And then there are going to be people who are like how me and Neeks are. We talk basically all day, every day, offline. How we have our separate server with Kim, and it's the three of us, and we talk about book stuff, but we also talk about like life stuff, and we actually know each other. And if you guys haven't seen, when I went to the bookstore, I got to meet Neeks in real life, and so there are pictures of us in real life. Anyway, I need you guys to know that your community is so much more than just, oh, I need you to help me promote my book. It's, hey, I'm here. How are you? How are you doing? And it's a question where you actually care, you know? And I feel like that's really important. And part of doing that is just like showing up and being real to who you are. Because like me said at the beginning of this, I'm an asshole. I was literally like, oh, if you aren't going to, in my mind, I remember that conversation, because I'm literally like this with everyone. I don't want y'all to think that it was just Neeks. Like, literally everyone, they're like, when they're like, ooh, I really like what you're doing. I love your platform. I love da-da-da-da-da. I love We Are the Origin, whatever. And they're like, oh, I kind of want to be friends because I feel like we're on the same level. And I'm like, okay, so what are you writing? When are you trying to have it done? Like, what is your goals here? Because the way, at the beginning of my writing career, I got into, like, acquaintanceships, I even call them friendships, acquaintanceships with people who were, I'll say, they talked a good talk, but they did not like to play the game. I was just kind of like, yeah, no, never again. So it's like, I'm the type of person where I'm like, let's do writing sprints. Let's talk about publishing. Let's talk about getting an editor. If you can't understand where I'm coming from when I'm like, oh, my editor did not give me the kind of feedback that I was looking for, because you've never had to go through the process of finding an editor, because you've never finished a story, because you've been working on the same story for like 15 years. No shade if it takes you that long to write a book. But also, that's not where I'm at in my current journey. So equally yoked. It matters. It matters. And also, I'm kind of an asshole, and I'm going to say some blunt shit. And sometimes I hit up Neeks, and I'm like, can I say something that's going to make you mad? I say that literally to all my friends at some point. Can I say something that's probably going to make you mad?
It's gonna make you mad. But you know what? I think that that's so necessary, especially with writing, because we talked about this. I was like, don't have me out here looking stupid.
No.
Because we will not be friends.
I am not that friend. I will tell you, I'm literally that friend, have been that friend in real life, where it's like, how does this look on me? I wouldn't buy that. I would put that back on the hanger. You know, I don't think that's really doing what you want it to do for you, what it did for on the mannequin. It didn't translate. Yeah. Like, I'm trying to be nice about it, but also
but that's love. Like, to me, that's love, because that's how my family is too. You know, they'll be like, Neek, you can't wear that. you can't wear that outside. That's love to me, because if you let someone out looking a fool, or you let them keep talking and looking a fool, that's not love. That, in fact, I think that's hate. I think that's straight up maliciousness.
Honestly, I'll be real with you, Nix. My problem is that I'm actually very, very conceited. And so I'm like, you can't be telling people that you're my friend and that we're cool and that I helped you with this book and it looks like this. No, ma'am. I had nothing to do with
it. Listen, if I knew that was the key to making sure this book got right, I would have just been like, Chelsea told me to put everything in this book in here right now.
I'd be like, don't let them tell you no lies. The devil is a lie. All right? He'll come up and sneak up on you quick, fast, in a hurry, okay? He comes like a thief in the night. Don't trust it.
Listen, you gotta do what you gotta do.
But no, seriously, that like this is literally why I wanted to talk to you about this, because I feel like more people need to hear that. Like, because especially in the beginning, and I'll be real with you guys, like it's very common to go through multiple communities before you find the right one. But when you find the right one, I won't say you have to be tough, but when it comes to professionalism, because that's at the end of the day, when we're talking about community, there is a level of professionalism. Like, you be friends, but also you need to have people that you respect and who respect you on a professional level. And if they can't tell you, like, hey, this part of the story is weak, hey, this character is not giving what you think it's giving, if they can't send you a scene to be like, oh, I really like this, but I think it's reading kind of awkward, and you can't be like, yeah, it's kind of awkward, I think you should do or could do X, Y, and Z. If you can't have real conversations, then that's probably not the community that you need to be in, because as I say on everything, you need hype men, but you also need people who are going to be real with you.
Yeah.
You need that person to be like, yeah, girl, you working that outfit, you're eating it up. Okay. You're starving lots. But then you also need that friend to be like, girl, you know, those pants are too tight. You look like a muffin top and not the cute kind. The kind that you leave on the shelf from Costco that are way too oversized and should not have been in that itty bitty pan to begin with. But you need both. You need both.
You do. And even vice versa, that if someone is giving you like blunt honesty, not in like a rude way, and you just don't know how to take it, take a moment to reevaluate if you want hundreds of thousands of people reading your work, because they will have opinions. And you need to be ready for that ish, because that it is what it is.
I mean, literally, you could go look at N.K. Jemisin books on Goodreads. She's a multi award winning, history making author with her fantasy, and there are still people who don't like it. So
say that, because if she can get a 1-star, you can too, baby. Okay, point blank, period.
And it's also just a game of statistics, like. There are always, in a range, there are always going to be outliers. If out of every 10 reviews you're going to get, even if 9 of them are 5-stars, one of them is bound to not. Like, that's just how it is. So you kind of have to be receptive to that to an extent. Not being like, ooh, I'm excited. But like, also like, it's a reality that you're going to have to face. Just like with any job, there are things about it that you're probably not going to like. Like if you work for the government, there are going to be times where you're going to have mandatory overtime where you have to show up. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not going to like it, but it's a reality that you have to deal with. Same thing with authoring. It's a reality that you have to deal with, and not being prepared for it. Not a good look, homie. Not a good look.
No. Nar.
So, one of the things that I heard, I can't say that I came up with it myself, but I don't remember who told it to me, is that basically your 1-star is, a 1-star review is a badge of honor. That means that you have made it to the point where you've reached the haters, which is a good thing, because that means your book is getting enough exposure that you've started to reach the outlier statistically. So that's good.
Because you will always start here, where your friends and family and like immediate followers would be, and then you move out to like followers of your followers, right? Mm-hmm. People who don't know you, but they know someone who knows you. That's always usually where it goes. Once you hit those strangers, the complete strangers, congrats.
You made it. That's literally the hardest part of all of this.
So. Exactly. I would also say that like your community is going to help you develop that kind of thick skin, wherein they'll be like, okay, maybe they didn't like this part of the book, but like, let's ground you again. Let's reground you. All these other people did, right? Mm-hmm. So your community is going to help you keep your head on when you start spiraling. And I think for me personally, that's probably the most important thing. I love when people hype me up, don't get me wrong, but I love it even more when people make sure I don't fly off the handle.
And honestly, I'm the type of person where I'm just kind of like, at the end of the day, it's just like, if you put in real time and effort into your skill and your craft, mm-hmm. unless someone is critiquing your skill or your craft, there's really, even if it's not a stellar review, that's personal opinion. And it's just like someone being like, oh, I don't like tomatoes. Okay, well, if you made freaking spaghetti, I can't help you with that. Like, it's literally a tomato-based dish. Like, there's nothing wrong with a tomato. You didn't make the spaghetti incorrectly. They just don't like tomatoes. There's nothing you can do about that.
Yeah.
You know?
So Exactly.
That's why I was going to say, just like, if you're listening with your community, make sure in your posting, like, side note, whatever, just make sure that you are perfecting your skill before you put your book out so that your feelings don't get too hurt.
Right. And like, be willing to listen to people. Like, it's not that you're bad. It's you're building a skill. Writing is a skill.
Yep.
So, in theory, this should be the worst book I ever write, right?
Yep.
And I think it's pretty darn good, if I do say so myself, not to be conceited. But
but no, like, that's real. Like, how do I put this? You can be proud of your book, but then also recognize that you have grown. Just like you have, like, pictures from elementary school where you'd be like, aw, like, cute. She was cute, but she needed a glow up. I'm glad that came around, you know? That's the same way that you are with your book. The 9 times out of 10 you are with your books. Because, like, we are the origin. I'm like, I love that book. I love the story. I love the fact that it's mine and it's something that I wrote and put out. It's a book that I'm extremely proud of. But also, having written We Are Dying Gods, I'm like, ew, I probably should have fixed that. Probably should have changed a couple of things. Probably should have had that from the beginning. Yeah. Gotta do better with the next series.
Right? But that's the place you have to get to. And, like, I exclusive on the book. I think I told you this already, but there are 4 typos in my book. Mm-hmm. I got to the point where I was like, I can handle 4 typos. If someone puts this book down for 4 typos, one of which only happened because I might be dyslexic. I don't know yet.
But no, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, because, like, and the only reason I caught them is because Amazon picked out all these other words that were not typos. They were just words that make sense in the story. And I was like, but I know how to spell beignet. Why is it wrong? You have to just, like, take certain things for what they are in your first book, even in your second book, because your second book is going to be the second worst thing you've ever written, right? Like, it's just going to keep going. Just be ready to, like, brush your shoulder off eventually, right?
Right. And also keep in mind that there's going to be a margin of error for, like, everything.
Yeah.
You know? Because it's like, even when you read traditionally published books, there are still typos in there. Yeah, and don't act like y'all don't catch them. There are still plot holes. You're like, what happened to this character? No one knows. They were just there in the beginning of the book and never mentioned again. You
that
know?
Part.
It happens. So, like, also give yourself a little bit of grace when you are dealing with, you know, putting your stuff out into the world. And then also, as we talked about earlier in this podcast episode, there are going to be things that go awry. But there's another part of self-publishing that people don't really talk about that I'm going to tell you about right now. It's very real. You will get to a point where you're like, I have played with this so much. And it is finally at a point where it's good. I don't give about this damn typo. I don't care that this one line is missing up here. You know, it's just going to be gone. It's going to be gone. And if you catch that, and like you said, that's the thing. If this one missing letter is the thing that makes you put down this book, the book wasn't for you.
Exactly.
Now that I can do it.
Exactly.
Because when I tell y'all, formatting is a special kind of torture.
Yeah.
When I tell you, once that thing is up on Amazon and it is fully accepted and there is nothing wrong with it, you are not taking it down to play with it.
Nope. Especially, especially with Ingram Spark, I'm not touching that thing anymore. It is done.
It's just, it's not worth it. It's not necessary.
But that'd be what it be. And, you know, I think that also, that's, again, where your community comes in, because, like, if they catch whiff of someone being like, I put this book down because of this one typo, your community is going to be like, you're a POS. Like, let's be real.
No hands. Because you're done. Like, square up.
You're done.
Meet me, catch me outside, bruh.
Yeah, catch me outside. And that's what I mean. That's why I'm always calling like everybody my homie, because like there's, you got your big homies, you got little homies, you got homies, and then like people I don't know yet. And it was just like, I don't know when that started, honestly, but I think someone on TikTok was like, I followed you because my friend said that you're really funny. And I was like, oh, thanks, homie. And I just started calling everybody that at some point. And it just became a thing. And people will like notice and appreciate that, because at least you feel welcome when you interact with me somewhere, right?
Yep.
And that's another thing that I really just hope people know, that like, I don't care if you read my book or not, but if you're nice to me, I'm nice to you.
I'm nice if you catch me on a good day. Otherwise, I'm going to ignore you if it's not a good day. But I, as I said at the beginning of this, am an asshole. So do not judge everyone else based off of my standards. I'm an introvert and I don't like talking to strangers. It's not my bag. I can, I will, but also if it takes me 3 days to respond to your comment, just know it's been a rough 3 days for me. So...
Chelsea said you are not the priority right now, okay?
The way that I will, like, watch my mom call me sometimes and be like, I will talk to her tomorrow.
Not mom dukes.
Literally everybody except for Ben. And even sometimes with Ben, I'll be like, I just need to be in a room by myself. I'll be, give me like an hour.
Please leave.
Okay? Isolation is necessary. I need to self-quarantine, okay?
Recharge that battery, girl.
Yeah. It's just... that's what it is. And also, like, for me, I use, like, love and homie a lot interchangeably. Mm-hmm. So it's just kind of like, yeah. And it depends. It just really depends on the context. So if I'm calling everybody homie to thread, and I'm like, oh, thank you, love. Like, you're special. But if I'm calling everybody love, and I'm like, yo, what's up, homie? You're special.
Exactly.
Context clues.
Anyway. Context. You gotta always, like, for my big, you know, big homies, all of you get called big homie all the time. Including biggest homie, of whom everyone now knows. But then there's like, you know, regular homies as a collective. But when I'm singling people out, it's always big homie. So.
No, like that makes sense. You have to know the hierarchy, and that's part of being a community, because like you have to know truly who your ride or dies are, your day ones, versus the people who are with you because you're successful and it's like mutual success. Like, not even like I'm trying to ride your coattails, but like, oh, I see you doing a thing and I respect it, and I'm also doing a similar thing that you respect, and so now we are collaborating. But to be real, if you ever stop doing this thing, this relationship is going to fall apart. That's okay to have people like that. That doesn't mean that they're not about you. It just means that, you know, be mindful of the relationship that you have with people. Everyone's not going to be your, okay, I stopped writing, but I'm still going to check on you because I haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks. Everybody's not going to be that friend.
No.
So I would not go into searching for a community expecting everyone to be that. And also that some people are going to be those people who are just on the bandwagon. They're just like, you're doing this thing. Because I can tell you right now, and I'm not going to call any names, but just know that I know that there are definitely some people who only fuck with me because I have I'm the owner of the Melanin Library, and I have a podcast and a YouTube channel that's mildly successful for the bookish community for what I do. So, I see you. Anyway.
She said, pull up.
I mean, I'm not going to fight you. It's just like, you're not... I don't talk about a lot of people, but I see things and I notice.
You see.
Yeah. And there's a reason why when people come on the podcast, it's very selective, especially post 2023. If you get an invite to the podcast, you're special because you're not the only one who asked.
But that's so real though. And I think people get really uncomfortable when you're like, let's make note, right? Like, let's make note of who's here. For you, for the craft, for whatever, and who's kind of fair weather. And it's fine to say that. If some people aren't sure they want to be in the bookish space or the writerly space, that's fine. Let them figure it out. But why do we have to pretend like, you know, it's more than what it is, right? Like, that's just not necessary, in my opinion. I don't know, other people can feel differently. But, like, when you asked me, or when you said, oh, you're very serious about this, I feel like that was you upgrading me in your mind from fair weather to, you know, someone who could be there. Yeah. So that's, I think people need to be comfortable with that. Because I was comfortable with it. When you said it, I just laughed. I was like, oh yeah, I guess I am. You know?
I mean, I honestly appreciate the fact that you can appreciate that, because for me, it's not, I think the other thing that people have to be mindful of when you're looking for your community, understand that you're dealing with people and those people have prior experiences to you. So the way they navigate, it's going to be reflective of that. And exactly. For me, it's like when I talk to authors, because I am very passionate specifically about talking and connecting with other Black authors, mm-hmm. and because I have intentionally created platforms to uplift Black authors, I have to be mindful of the fact that when I talk to people or connect with people, sometimes it's they just do that to get access to those platforms that I have, that I am in charge of. Correct. And it's just kind of like, I'm about uplifting everyone, but if you're trying to connect with me just for access, like, mm-hmm. cool, do what you gotta do, but also understand that it needs to be a mutual exchange. Like, I need to get something out of this as well. You know, it could be a business exchange. I'm fine with that, but don't pretend to be my friend, pretend exactly. to care about me when you're just looking for something specific mm-hmm. or whatever. So
exactly. I was gonna say, like, trad authors talk about this a lot, especially like trad authors of color. Mm-hmm. And before, like, I want to say, like, when I first started getting really into the writing side of things instead of reviewing, I would always see authors talk about, vague tweet about people who tried to get access to them for their perceived amount of access to the publishing industry. And every single, like, BIPOC author that I ever saw talk about this was like, do you think I have connections? Because I'm in here by the skin of my teeth as well. Mm-hmm. And that's why I need all of us, be ye Black, brown, or what have ye, to understand that if we don't lift each other up, none of us are getting through that door by the skin of our teeth or anything else. Because honestly, we're the ones who are checking for each other. And I do believe that we have allies outside of our own communities, absolutely. And I see the people putting work. But at the end of the day, if those allies go for whatever reason, you know, oh, they were mean to me, so I'm gonna go the other way now. Good for you, but the community still got to do work. And that's just how it is. That's just how it is. So I think there were a lot of authors who I once thought were selfish for kind of not talking to, like, the lesser known authors. But now I kind of see why they did it. I do. Because, you know, we've known each other for a while, and I've seen people try to use your platform, and I've seen you have to navigate that. And it's actually very sad. So I don't wish that on anyone. So if you got to protect your peace, do that.
Yeah. And I will say this, because if you're listening to this and you are a newer author, I don't mean to, like, say all this in an effort to be like, oh my God, it's scary out there. I don't mean it to say that, but I just mean it to say that, like, speaking as assuming that you're an adult, if you're under 18, baby doll, I don't know. I navigate the best you can. When you hit 23 and that frontal cortex is fully developed, come back, right? Yeah. But navigating as an adult is just kind of like, you kind of have to take people at face value and learn not to take it personally, because mm-hmm. for most of the time, it's not. Most of the time, everyone else is in the same boat as you, trying to figure out, how do I get my book out to the most people possible? And for a lot of people, they see networking as, oh, if I know you, then mm-hmm. I have a foot in the door. And the thing is, that is not always how it works. But also, when you're, it's intentionality. Because the thing with me is, I don't care. Like, I'm here to uplift Black and brown people, okay? That is what I'm about. That's what my platform is for. So it's just like, if you just tell me, like, hey, I saw your platform, I would love to be a guest on the podcast. At this point, 2023, I'm probably going to say no, because that's just how I am, because I'm very selective about who I let on my platform mm-hmm. because reasons in the past that I'm not going to get into in this episode. But if you ask, now at least you're in the back of my mind, so I can look into you, so I can see what your book is about, so I can see what your platform is, so I can see what it is that you're trying to do, so that I can see if you would be a good match for the what I'm trying to do and the audience that I'm mm-hmm. trying to curate. You know, there's more that goes into it than other than, oh, we were cool that one time we talked on the internet.
Exactly. And
it's just like, but you have to ask. And if you ask with your intention straight up, I'm more likely to respect you for just being straight up with me versus trying to weasel your way in through a quote-unquote back door. Because let me tell you, with Chelsea, I don't like anybody. It's a facade, okay? I'm just professional. I know how to communicate with people, okay? But there is no, oh, we're friends, and so we can get, I will mm-hmm. absolutely be like, oh, we're friends, but no, I'm not going to give you a free spotlight on the Melanin Library. We have a services page, and you can pay for that. Here's the invoice. But anyway.
Point blank, period.
Yeah. But we're going to get off of this topic, because I feel like I'm painting myself in such a negative light, and I swear
I don't think so. I think that people something, especially with us, like we've talked enough to be like, here's my honest statement. It's not going to hurt your feelings because you know that I'm just saying what I feel. How do you feel about that? And then the person responds with, oh, I like that you were honest with me. Thank you. You have to learn to appreciate people being honest in a way that is also respectful, right?
Yeah.
Like there's like rude where they're like, you know, F you, F this, kick your house in, da 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 da. Like you don't have to do all that. Just say what you mean all the time and it's fine. But I do think that while we have a rapport to do that, a lot of people are still learning how to do that with, you know, relative strangers as well. Because people be having different personalities. It's scary out there.
It truly is. So my advice, if you're looking for honesty, is to lead with, hey, can I be honest with you for a moment? And if they say no, zip your lips, move on, keep it in your spirit, leave it at the altar, and move on. You know?
Yeah.
So, and pay attention how people react, but I feel like this has deviated so much from what the intention of this podcast was.
I think it's still community, maybe. It could be community.
It's navigating
the people will say. Yeah, for sure. But I do want to circle back because I feel like I painted Trad authors in a bad light and I didn't mean to do that because very early on in my journey, just a couple of the Trad authors who made sure I knew that I could do it. Zoraida Cordova, Danielle Clayton, Amber McBride, so many people, I'm forgetting people. Tracy Dion, N.E. Davenport, our Murda Barbie, N.E., okay?
Yeah.
they all had, I won't say really big hands because I don't want them to watch this one day and be like, what the fuck is this girl talking about? But they all had taken time out of their busy schedules, and I mean busy because, I think Tracy was on tour when she messaged me for like a whole night talking to me about like story and craft. They really took time on this girl that is relatively a stranger, who fangirled over their books a few times. And they were like, you can do this. We want you to believe in yourself, X, Y, Z, da, da, da. So I really don't want people to think that I'm painting Trad authors in a bad light because Trad authors also got my ass through this. So
yeah. And I will add to that, like, this is not an anti-trad podcast. No. So that is not what I'm saying. I'm saying that there is a difference between being trad and indie. The experiences are different in some meaningful ways. But that is, like I said at the beginning of this, you have to pick the path that is right for you. And the things that you navigate are going to be different in the way that you can navigate them. Because there's also the reality of trad authors, generally speaking, once their book comes out, have an inherent popularity that gets them a lot of people where they have to navigate their community a little bit differently. That is not necessarily inherent with an indie author.
Yeah.
So curating that community is going to be different. But I have also like had the opportunity to talk to so many trad authors who are wonderful and genuine spirits who are just like everybody else, because at the end of the day, no matter what path you choose, you're still a person, you're still an author. And for the people I talk to, you're still a Black author, you know? So it's just like, I still want to see you win. It's like, I may not be able to be like, oh yeah, I have an agent for you in my back pocket. I can just slide them your way. But it is like, I'm watching, I see what you're doing, and I want you to continue doing this because what you're doing is appreciated, and your skill and your presence and what you're doing holds value.
Exactly. And they all very much said that. And like, it's not, I don't want people to, again, I don't want to be like name dropping, but when people like that talk to you, that is valuable. When they say they believe in you, that is valuable. And then when you find your indie community, and you make a bunch of indie friends who are in that space, and they tell you that they believe in you, and they tell you that you can do this, valuable. When the day I met you, Chelsea, in person, at your book signing, I spoke to Danielle Allen for a while she was waiting to do her live. Woman put out 48 books. You think I wasn't going to sit there and be taking mental notes the whole time she was speaking? I did. I did indeed.
As you should. And I want to also point out that the reason, like, I can't speak for Nix, but I know for me, the reason that these people hold value when they say that you can do what you're doing is because 9 times out of 10, they've already done it. They're on the other side of it. That's like if you're trying to be a professional chef and Gordon Ramsay comes up to you, is like, you've got what it takes. Your food is delicious. Yes. And you've never opened a restaurant before. You've never cooked professionally. He's literally in your house looking at what you've created, tasting it. And it's like, okay, you've got what it takes. It's like, okay, I've never done this before, but someone who has and has done it multiple times and has done it successfully is acknowledging the fact that I am made of the same stuff. That holds value. That's where the value comes from. It's not that we're like, oh, some random person off the street. Because like, no, your Twitter community and your TikTok and your social media community is also important, but in a different way, because someone who's never had to do what you're doing, telling you, oh, you've got this, it does not hit the same as someone who knows exactly what you were going through. Like, it's not hypothetical for them. It's not abstract. They know what it's like to struggle with Ingram Spark and to have to deal with their customer service. They know what it's like to have to fight all the highlights on Amazon. You're like, I followed all the instructions. This is what you sent me. And they're arguing with a computer that cannot hear them. And they're dealing with a difficult character where you're like, why are you like this? Why is your storyline not hitting? Do you need to be in this story at all?
Right.
You know?
Like, the age-old question.
It hits differently. So
it does. It does.
It's all to say that, like, however you find your community, whether it be trad, indie, self-published, or what have you.
Hybrid.
Ooh, when I tell you that, I will say that for a different discussion. Whatever. Anyway. When I tell you that finding your community is such a critical piece of being a successful author, I will say, and I will say that with my whole chest, if you want to be successful, you need a community. Because nothing thrives on its own, complete isolation. That's just not how the world works. That's not how humanity works. That's not how specifically America and the subset of Black America works. Nope. So, all that to say that, you know, find your community, be careful. And of course, if you have questions, you can always reach out to me. I offer mentoring services at the time of this podcast. You can book an hour to talk to me for about $20 and I will help you navigate this, answer any questions. And depending on if I like you or not, I can put you onto a couple of communities that you can reach out to. But I'm not going to give it to everybody if you're not cool. I'll be real with you. Anyway.
Be cool or get out.
But The services are for anyone who's listening, especially if you have questions about self-publishing and indie authorship. That's kind of my bag. I just want to help. I want everybody to be as successful as they can be. I'm not going to read your book, though, so don't ask me that. Moving on. We are coming. This podcast episode is long. We're like over an hour now. Y'all know how I feel about long stuff. This is just me and Nix, though. We talk all the time, so I kind of expected this to be long. I should have warned you about that at the beginning. My bad.
What time is it, though?
It's 2:13 here, but we're at like an hour and 7 minutes for the podcast episode.
Okay. I need to go pick my neighbor up from the airport.
So we're going to wrap this up.
I told you it's chaos hours at all times.
At all times.
It's fine. She's not here until 2:30. It's fine. Airport's like literally 13 minutes away.
Okay. So, Nix, that being said, we've had a wonderful conversation. We are going to go ahead and wrap this up. So I have a question for you that I like to ask everyone who comes on the podcast, and that is, what writing advice would you give to any new authors starting out on their writing journey?
Make the most disgusting first draft you've ever written. Literally hate everything about it. And then go back and write the actual first draft. Literally, I want you to throw garbage at your computer screen until you can't do it anymore and you have gotten yourself to the end, okay? And then go write the actual first draft, because people will always write the first draft and take years upon years doing it because they keep going back and trying to fix it. You don't know what to fix until it's all laid out for you. So if you want to actually finish your book, throw garbage into your computer, start picking out stuff that isn't garbage, and then go from there.
Honestly, I second that. Like, you have to get it out. You can't, as they like to say, you cannot edit a blank page.
No.
So, that's pretty much it. If you would like to let the people know where they can find you, what's coming up next, this is your time to shine, Miss Nika Marie. Let them know.
I'm a star. First and foremost, you can buy my book, The Inevitability Of, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, wherever books are sold. Yay me. It's doing really well. And I hope that you guys enjoy it. It's like a dream come true for me right now. You guys are doing really well with reading it. And send me voice notes. Send me your text messages. Everyone's sending me photos and selfies with the book. I love that. You can find me on Twitter at It's Neeks Yeah, ITSNEEKS, and the word yeah. I'm on TikTok, Nika Marie, or Neeks. I'm on Instagram, Nika Marie Author. I am on that other blue app now, Blue Sky, as of today. I forgot my user for that though, so I don't know. I'm social media out. You can also find me on YouTube. I haven't made a new video in a while, but you can subscribe if you just like seeing my face. That's also Neeks, youtube.com/Neeks. That's me.
All right, you guys, and you know that I will have her information all down in the show notes, so make sure that you check that out. And like I said before, you can grab The Inevitability Of from the Melanin Library if you would like to support. And yeah, that is it for this episode of the Written and Melanin Podcast, you guys. If you'd like to support this podcast, then please share it with someone you think may enjoy it. Join my Patreon at patreon.com/CM Lockhart, or grab a copy of my books, We Are the Origin and We Are Dying Gods, from my website, cmlockhart.com. If you'd like to support Neeks, then please purchase her books and follow her on social media. Like I said, all of her information will be down in the show notes, as well as all the stuff for my books and everything else that you need to know from this podcast. So thank you guys again so much for listening. And until next time, I hope all of your books are full of melanin.